This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. Welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your airwaves. We are broadcasting on Shoutcast. You can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. But you can also listen online by going to kppfm.com.
That's right.
And we always want to hear about what folks have to say. We are talking today about the Standing Rock arrests. There's been a number of arrests that have taken place just yesterday, October 10th, Indigenous Peoples Day. And we will also be bringing you reports from Unicorn Riot. We'll talk about some of the things that they're reporting have occurred, as well as some comments from social media about the arrests and the involvement of a multiple number of law enforcement agencies. That's from right. Around the country. There's various states involved now, including Cass County Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Laney.
That's right.
So we'll be talking about all of that today. We certainly want to hear your comments and questions. Keep them coming. We love the emails. We love the comments on social media and tweets.
And we especially love when you call into our call-in line.
Yes.
We do have a call-in line. It's 701-566-0917. You can leave a message. We may play it on air. So it's one way to talk to us. You know, if that's not your bag, you can tweet us at media_PPP. You can do old-fashioned email, Cindy@kppfm.com or Duke@kppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can.
Mm-hmm. And I encourage you to do all of those things, or as many of them as you participate in. Some folks just use snail mail.
Uh-huh.
They send us letters in the mail or cards, and we appreciate those too.
That's right. We even write back.
Yes, we do. We actually do. We try to respond on all our social media pages as quickly as possible. We do listen to your suggestions. We do care about the topics that matter most to you. And recently, the topic of Standing Rock and what is happening there hasn't just captured the imagination of the people living here in North Dakota, but across the nation and the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of different nations of Indigenous people have gathered at Standing Rock in Cannonball, North Dakota. I believe to date, the last report that I heard when we were there just this last weekend was 340.
Wow.
And that is a historical event, because never had this number of Native nations come together in one place.
That's right. That's right.
And historically, many of these nations were enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were working against each other.
Yeah. They were pitted against each other by the U.S. government, for sure.
And now they're coming together in solidarity. Many of them understand the fight at Standing Rock. They know intimately exactly why Indigenous people are standing up for their water, standing up for their sacred sites, standing up for their burial grounds, because they too have had the treaties violated, agreements violated. They too have suffered non consultation or a non-meaningful consultation in projects such as the Dakota Access Pipeline. They too have suffered the poisoning of their lands, of their waters, the destruction of their hunting and fishing resources. They have seen the illnesses that have plagued the reservations. They have had to survive this continuing genocide that has been occurring for the last 500 years. Mm-hmm. So who better to stand next to the people at Standing Rock than those who have already experienced that generationally and know exactly what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And to have the media, which continues to be largely unswayed at covering what's happening there, what's been happening there since April.
That's right.
On a regular basis. When the Bundys took over a wildlife reserve, mm-hmm. there was almost 24-hour reporting
That's right.
about what was happening there.
And they had weapons there. And people at Sacred Stone, there are no weapons. There's no violence. People are there to pray. People are there to be in unity. People are there to support each other. And people are there to help each other. And there's no violence. And the only violence I have seen has come from law enforcement. There's checkpoints, they call it information points, but they stop you on the highway. They're searching people. They're asking people all sorts of questions that they shouldn't be asking when you're freely traveling on a public highway. They're arresting people with no cause. They're arresting people without warrants. They're going in people's cars without a warrant to search it. There's all sorts of infractions that the law enforcement has been doing on a daily basis. So the violence is coming from the law enforcement, not from indigenous people that are at the camp. And, you know, the latest thing is where the sheriff departments tried to get federal money to be able to bolster their coffers when it comes to their militarization. They didn't get it. And so they went out to the sheriff's departments across North Dakota and said, we need help. And those sheriff departments said, we'll help you, including our own Cass County, who when we drove by when we were there this weekend, I saw Fargo Police Department there. There's a Cass County police there. So the resources from this community are being used to go out and to illegally basically bully people.
Yeah. And the thing about that that's really disturbing to me as a media person and, you know, to the people that are watching this happen, I think, is the fact that they feel as if there isn't any justice. Who do you call when the people that are accosting you are the police?
Exactly. In fact, today, Myron Dewey was, there was people driving by taking pictures of children and they looked like predators. So he started following them and called 911. Called 911 to say there are predators here. They're doing activity that's harmful to our children, to the women in the community, to the people in the community, and followed them. And it turned out to be law enforcement officers. And when they got to the checkpoint, the officers there said, well, you're the one breaking the law. And he said, I called 911. Well, those are officers. They weren't doing anything wrong. So, you know, trying to get help from the police when the police are policing you, there is no one to call.
And it makes it very frightening for people at the camp because they're doing their own security at the camp. They're watching everybody that comes in. They're making sure that people are not armed. They don't want any kind of weapons or any kind of drugs or alcohol or anything at the camp. And they've been going now for 6 months mm-hmm. and have had no incidences of violence or assaults or rape or abuse of children mm-hmm. or anything negative. And that's an incredible thing if you think about it, a gathering of this many thousand people for this
exactly.
many months.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no reports of problems. Recently, right before we arrived at the camp this weekend, we heard that somebody running from the BIA police had driven into the camp to try to escape the police. They were not part of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think they stole a car in
Bismarck.
Yeah, they
stole a car in Bismarck, yes.
They were accused of stealing a car in Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ran from the... They drove around and hit things in Bismarck, damaged property in Bismarck. And then the police started to chase them and They drove at very high speeds, drove into the camp, drove into tents and teepees. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, nobody was seriously injured as a result of that. But this kind of report is the only one of its kind. Yeah. I haven't heard of anything happening at the camp in all of these months.
And then that actually was an incident that had nothing to do with the camp. It was someone that was fleeing tribal police and ran into the camp to try to escape. And the water protectors actually stopped the person and got them out of there because that person was endangering other people. Mm-hmm. So it has not come from the camp. There is no violence in the camp. It is peaceful. It is prayerful. There are people uniting. And it's a place that you can go. You can go there. I encourage you to go there. Go there for a couple hours. Go there for a couple days. Just spend some time there and you will see what it means to be part of a community.
Yeah, and it isn't just a camp of protesters. These are water defenders. They make that distinction very clear. That is the sole reason why this camp was created. It was created in prayer as a spirit camp to stand against the poisoning of their water. Mm-hmm. Because this company has cut corners. We've reported on this a lot. They've cut corners to ram this pipeline through the process as quickly as possible. And in the state of North Dakota, as we have also reported previously, there are a number of politicians, including the governor, including Hoven, mm-hmm. Including Heidi Heitkamp, and many others, who are either directly going to benefit from the building of this pipeline, who have shares in companies that have oil rigs out there.
And Senator Hoven has investments in 16 different oil rigs.
Exactly. So these folks don't exactly have an objective point of view about the Dakota Access Pipeline. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now it seems neither does the police that are patrolling this area, and the Morton County Sheriff's Department. Because what we have seen, what we do know, as was reported by Amy Goodman from Democracy Now!, is that peaceful water defenders, prayerful water protectors and land defenders have been maced, were pepper sprayed,
yes,
attacked by dogs, arrested without warrant, mm-hmm. held without bail,
exactly,
for trespassing, for misdemeanor charges, arrested for standing on the side of the road, numerous videos,
arrested for filming
on numerous occasions. And that brings us to the most recent arrests that just occurred yesterday on Indigenous Peoples Day of 27 people. Now, to give people some background for those of you who do not know, yesterday on Indigenous Peoples Day, there was an action of prayer of the coming together, the prophecy fulfilled of the condor and the eagle. That was going to be taking place at St. Anthony's, a small town in St. Anthony's, at one of the work sites where the pipeline had been digging and desecrating ground.
Yeah.
And they went there, they built a teepee, and they had prayer and song. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
We watched the video. We played some of that in our report. And, you know, folks, if you want to get a real clear picture from the people that are at the Sacred Stone Camp, that are at the Ocheti Sakoan Camp, or the Red Warrior Camp, if you want to hear from the folks that are out there actually defending your and my drinking water, mm-hmm. you can find all of our past reports. We've done
a month's worth, about 20 hours to date we've done reporting, and we have all those podcasts on our website at kpppfm.com. We have a new link on there called Updates from Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. So they're all isolated into that specific category, and you can go way back into early September when we actually started broadcasting these. Mm-hmm. And we've been to camp three times, and so we've been interviewing people on the ground. We've been meeting people that we've been covering from afar,
right?
Because there are people that are doing daily updates, that are doing a lot of Facebook live streaming.
Right.
And we're taking audio from the live streams. We're taking information from their press releases and their information, and we're making them into informational shows an hour at a time. So I would encourage people, if you went and listened to these, you would be up to date with more information than any news outlet is willing to give you in this entire state.
Right. But especially in this region. And I mean, that's shocking because the Fargo-Moorhead metropolitan area is the largest metropolitan area between Spokane, Washington, and the Twin Cities.
Exactly.
We have the largest population of people concentrated right here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. And what happens in Western North Dakota affects people in the Red River Valley.
Exactly.
We've known that because we've all been affected by the oil boom and the bust. Mm-hmm. So what is happening at Standing Rock and what is going to happen to the water of the Missouri River and consequently the Oglala Aquifer that is beneath it, that feeds the whole entire Midwest.
Exactly.
And the people that grow all of our food. Mm-hmm. If you like to eat food and if you like to drink water.
Yeah.
In other words, if you enjoy breathing and living.
Exactly.
Upon this earth, then you should know what is happening or what is about to happen mm-hmm. to your drinking water. And you should have a right to have a say in that process. And you can have a say. So let me tell you what happened during this action that took place where they were praying. They put up a teepee and they had there was a couple of people that were actually locked down to equipment.
Yeah.
Of Dakota Access.
As I said, nonviolent civil disobedience.
That's correct.
It's a tactic that's been used by Gandhi. Mm-hmm. It's been used by Martin Luther King. Those are organizing tactics that will put attention towards issues. It doesn't damage property. No one's in danger except the person that's locked up when law enforcement comes in and decides to cut them out with a bandsaw or something. Mm-hmm. But it is not intended to hurt anyone. It's there to make a statement.
Now, the Fargo police and the people, the sheriff's department, Sheriff Laney, I'm sure that he is very familiar with these types of tactics because they were used by Right to Lifers at the Red River Women's Clinic.
That's right. The Lambs,
and have been for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
the Lambs of Christ were here in the 1990s. And uh-huh. Sheriff Laney then was Officer Laney for the Fargo Police Department. Uh-huh. He was there helping people that were basically protesting abortion mm-hmm. and locking themselves to doors and to doorways and in hallways and to each other.
And to cars.
And to cars and underneath cars and all sorts of equipment. And he helped supervise cutting people out and trying to make sure they aren't hurt and hurting people into buses and being very gentle with people that were exercising their right to protest. And he believed in that.
Did he call them rioters at the time?
No, he never called them rioters. In fact,
did they charge them with felonies for endangering police officers' lives for their constitutionally protected right to protest?
It was simple trespass. And people were out the next day and they came back and protested again. And Laney was all part of that. And then now
that seems like a double standard to me.
It is. And we'll hear on the show, we'll hear him talking about what he considers a riot. And it's a riot to me that he's actually
like a ha-ha riot.
Yeah, ha-ha riot that that he's actually determining that people are creating a riot. The only riot that's happening is when law enforcement comes in with full riot gear, with military equipment, guns and all
M-raps
sorts of and all these things that can really harm people.
Sound cannons.
The riot is the police are the ones inciting a riot.
Live ammunition, which is pointed at unarmed women, children, elderly people.
Yeah.
They've injured horses. I mean, this is what we're seeing is unprecedented. And I think that it's important that we talk about it. And that's why we're talking about it here on A Mexican Crossing Lines. Because, you know, we'll bring you the information that most other news outlets, especially all of the mainstream outlets in our area, just don't want to or don't care to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it.
I don't think they care to do it. And I think that it's, you know, there's this more comfortable reprinting press releases from mm-hmm. Morton County or from Cass County.
I've seen some great reporting coming out of Chad Hagen, who's been printing his stories in the High Plains Reader for three or four weeks. I think there's four installments of very good reporting about what's been going on at Standing Rock. And he will be on our show later on, not in today's show, but we'll be doing an interview with him about what he has seen as a reporter and some of the experiences that he's drawn from all of the information he's been collecting, because he's really done a really great in-depth reporting job, unlike I've seen almost anywhere.
No, thanks, Chad.
At least in print.
Yep.
Sorry, Chris Hagen.
Chris Hagen.
Not Chad.
Oh, okay.
And also, we have seen that there are independent media sources like Unicorn Riot doing a great job demanding that there be FOIA requests, that the Morton County Sheriff's Department, that Dakota Access, that all of the different law enforcement and government officials release all of their communications so that we can find out, are these people working together? Has Morton County Sheriff's Department and other law enforcement in the area essentially become de facto arms of the Dakota Access Pipeline? Are they working to ensure that the Dakota Access Pipeline gets built? Is that what they're there for? Or are they here to protect and serve the people? Those are questions that a lot of people have been asking. So today we're going to be talking about all of that stuff. But let's go back for a minute to what happened during this event yesterday, Indigenous Peoples Day. The event looked like the action looked like it had almost concluded. I remember I was watching Shailene Woodley's feed, live feed. When I started watching it, she started off with maybe, 10,000 people. And by the time she was concluding her live feed, she was up to 46,000 people.
Yeah, it was about a 2-hour live stream.
Yeah, she did a live stream of almost the whole event. It was really an incredible thing. You can find it on Facebook and Twitter. I definitely suggest that you go check it out for yourself. Let me know where you saw rioting happen, you can find it, because I watched the whole thing. Duke, you watched the whole thing.
Definitely, yes.
Nobody did anything that even comes close to rioting. 27 people were arrested. Shailene Woodley was leaving the site when police came in, when she announced the riot police were coming in. A lot of people began to disperse, including her, and the police actually surrounded her RV, which was up the road, and they had a big MRAP or something that was, or a Bearcat that was parked behind her, and a whole bunch of armed riot police waiting for this one actress, this one divergent actress.
That's right. Armed with a phone.
Armed with her phone and her mom.
Yes.
She's with her mom. And they arrested her. And they told her that she was, she asked some questions about why she was being arrested, which they did not want to answer, but they told her they would answer later. So she was arrested. All 27 people, I believe, have now been released. Shailene posted bail for herself and everyone else as well. So
Thank you.
A big thank you to her for that. So let's talk about what is actually happening. There was an announcement last week by the Morton County Sheriff, Kyle Kirchmeier, that there is going to be a joint task force of law enforcement from different sheriff's department. And this came on the heels of a request that Morton County sheriffs made to the Department of Justice, to the Obama administration, for additional funds to continue to do law enforcement work around the clock, like they've been doing this, like hyper-militarized law enforcement, where they've got people almost here, there, everywhere on all these corners. And this includes Cass County Sheriff Paul Laney's, North Dakota Highway Patrol Superintendent Mike Gerhart, and the Director of North Dakota Energy Services, Major General Al Dorman. They were all in a press conference and talked about how they were going to create a joint task force. That has now happened.
Yes.
I don't know what you make of all of that. I kind of felt like he was flexing his muscle, because after he got turned down by the Obama administration and basically was told, no, you don't need that.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah, as many people in the state have been saying, you don't need to do this. There were a lot of people that could not understand why the governor declared a state of emergency.
Yeah.
there is no state of emergency.
Oh, it's a way that law enforcement has been doing this. They're so used to getting these grants and building their coffers with this money to really create unnecessary things, the military equipment, the gear they get, all the different things that they try to apply for. They're seizing the opportunity to get more money to basically militarize themselves.
Yeah, and what it's doing is really curtailing the rights of the people that are there. I'm going to read to you a little bit from a commondreams.org article about the surveillance state, which is descended upon the spirit camp of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. It says that for the past month at the confluence of the Cannonball and Missouri Rivers, history has been made at one of the largest international gatherings of indigenous people in recent history. Representatives from well over 100 indigenous nations and thousands of people have camped, prayed, and taken action in solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe against the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline on or near the tribe's sovereign land in North Dakota. And one of the things that has happened, and for the past 6 weeks, history has repeated itself. As the Morton County Sheriff's Office has dramatically increased its surveillance of the gathering, militarized the county, and taken action to suppress the religious expression of the indigenous people gathered at Sacred Stone. The use of surveillance, military-style force, and religious oppression against indigenous people has a long history in this country. Today, on Indigenous Peoples Day, and at a moment of surging Indigenous power and strength, we bring light to the ongoing repression of the Indigenous nations by Morton County and the state of North Dakota. I mean, what we're talking about here in this, what they're talking about here in this article is that what Morton County is doing, what the state of North Dakota is doing, is not just a continuation of the genocide that we have seen that has been ongoing for 500 years. But it is a repression of the constitutional and the sovereign rights of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk a lot more after this musical break about what that could mean for the state of North Dakota and for Morton County Sheriff's Department and all of those other law enforcement agencies that are currently participating. We'll talk about that here on Mexican Crossing Lines right after this break.
Been mopped and robbed of, lackluster, zoned out, run the round pub. Routine day, repeat in my plot. Ball flops, flock, then stop the sock out. Dance to the rhythm of a similar drum. Some never will admit it, better feel it, some. Numb to the point of popcorn, rock, sip. Burn CD, down low, cop, quit. Loose, slip, let loose on ego trips. Skill decrease, everywhere, emo kit. No plan for the future, leadership. Follow hollow dreams, model this dealer kit. Stop, go, place, no destination. Go, speed, race, shake that mental base. And stop, war race, living like Cobra Static. Had a credit from the wrong. To both, yeah, we can both let it happen anyway, up anywhere. The song was an act with an act would be. But to the enemy, never the friend of me, hand it off the land that I command is man in time. Like we demand this, reset drop, now they want business. Kids turn tricks like Chris on Christmas. Crime a little bitches, gush out.
Yo, what is this?
Stand still, neutrals, push the boat. MCs ain't teaching but push the dope. So now go, got us on TV spoke. Filling up the gaps, filling up the rap. Not a world thing, we gon' crack. Now look at them, I remember what it's all about, cause I am the new Billy Holiday. They cat Calloway, new Nina Simone, new slide in the family stone, new 88 take, new experience, a new fate, new scenery and update, girl, but now, soliloquies of sound, new sheriff in town.
Welcome back. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online, so you can go to kpppfm.com and listen live.
That's right. And, you know, we have a way for you to communicate with us. We're communicating with you. You communicate with us. Chime in and weigh in on these conversations. You can give us a call on our call-in line at 701-566-0917. Leave a message. Tell us who you are, where you're from. We may play it on the air, so, you know, talk it up. You can also tweet us at media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke at kpppfm.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Find out what's going on. Find out what we're talking about. Go to 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. Also, you can go to the People's Press Project. And also, our other Facebook site is Mexi-Can.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for following us and for communicating with us about what you hear on our radio station. Now, continuing with this CommonDreams.org article, which we'll have a link for you along with this show so that you can find it for yourself. It talks about the ramping up of surveillance and the militarization of Morton County. And it says at the front of the Ocheti Sacoan camp, a sign reads, "We are unarmed." The same cannot be said for the government reaction to the Indigenous Nations protest. In response to the ongoing peaceful actions, the Morton County Sheriff's Office has activated one of the most militant responses ever in North Dakota history. In mid-August, Governor Jack Dalrymple declared a state of emergency for Southwest and Central South North Dakota in response to actions taken by the water protectors. Despite the governor's and the local sheriff's verbal commitment to allowing constitutionally protected lawful protests, the result of the state of emergency has been a vast suppression of the right to protest and a dramatic increase in police surveillance around and above the camp. Surveillance starts early every morning with near constant low overflights of the camp, which, according to a Huffington Post article that we talked about earlier, is a violation of FAA guidelines.
Yep.
They're committing federal offenses
exactly.
in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also been caught flying under false flag, which is another federal offense.
And they can lose their license and ability to fly even their equipment.
Mm-hmm. But these people who are being hired and working with Morton County Sheriff's Department, they're working along with law enforcement mm-hmm. to do these illegal acts. We're not talking about the illegal acts of Morton County Sheriff's Department or any of the other law enforcement that are working with them. We're merely looking at the peaceful water defenders. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the problems. That's what we need to talk about more. Continuing, it says that they're being surveilled by helicopter and plane. On one morning alone, on October 2nd, surveillance flights were recorded at 7:15 a.m., 7:45 a.m., and then again 11:25. These surveillance flights continue if there is any perceived action coming out of the camp. Water protectors are followed on county roads by both state and private security helicopters as they drive on public roads in Morton County. There's also been reports from digital smoke signals, as we were talking about earlier, that Dakota Access Pipeline security personnel, as well as law enforcement, follow and stop people, detain people that are traveling on the roads in and around the Ocheti Sacoan camp. Police have set up numerous roadblocks and checkpoints around Morton County. As many as 6 to 8 police vehicles are stationed around the clock south of the camp, and a permanent police operations station is set up less than a quarter mile from the camp itself. Additional police vehicles are stationed at the turnoffs on various camp roads, leading to pipeline construction sites. It is now common to see 20 or more police vehicles within a 10-mile radius of the camp. Police have used the roadblocks as an excuse for unwarranted stops to ask drivers and passengers where they're staying, why they're on the road, and where they are going. They are also regularly checking IDs and license plates of anyone driving through one of these roadblocks. People in Morton County can expect to be stopped for simply driving down a public road. And they aren't just bringing out police cars. Military vehicles are being used at roadblocks and at checkpoints and are regularly being brought now during peaceful actions to intimidate water protectors. A Bearcat and an MRAP have appeared at nearly every action over the past 2 weeks, despite water protectors' public position of nonviolent direct action. Early in September, Governor Dalrymple activated the National Guard, and they've been recorded driving out the riot squad to nonviolent direct actions by water defenders. In addition to ongoing surveillance, harassment, regular ID checks, water defenders have been arrested for report a series of civil rights and civil liberties violations. The right to counsel and the right to free association don't just go away under a state of emergency. Despite that fact, protesters report being interrogated without a lawyer present by a gang of intelligence units from North Dakota's Department of Corrections and ask questions about where they're camped and whom they're associated with. The situation in Morton County is tense enough with the presence of local, state, and national police and military forces. But to make matters worse, the state militarization is supplemented by the presence of G4S, the notorious private security organization that profits off private prisons around the world. G4S has been hired by Energy Transfer Partners as a private contractor, but their employees have blocked people on public roads, hit horses with their trucks, and appear to be working with government forces to coordinate against water defenders when they come out of the camp, flying helicopters to surveil cars as they drive along public roads near the construction site. All of this comes at the same time that Morton County is increasing charges on water protectors and that the sheriff is heating up his rhetoric in the press. At a press conference on October 6th, Sheriff Kyle Kirchmeier announced he would request help from sheriff's offices around the country and practically encouraged local ranchers to keep firearms with them at all times. This is truly terrifying and sick.
It is.
He regularly accuses people at the camp of harassing and intimidating ranchers, breaking windows, and cutting fences. These accusations are not backed by any evidence, but they are being made publicly to sway the opinion against people at the camp and to stoke tensions between water defenders and those who live in Morton County. Mm. This is a classic example of trial by media. And there is more information about what the ACLU of North Dakota is doing in response to this. Believe me, lawyers, the National Lawyers Guild, the ACLU of North Dakota, all of these folks are paying attention. And if you go to the article that we will have in this link, you will be able to sign a petition that was started by the ACLU calling on North Dakota to stop its suppression, which is illegal, mm-hmm. of the right to protest, and to demilitarize Morton County. And you will be able to sign that petition and also find one where you can help the Sacred Stone Camp. So, let's talk a minute about this craziness. One of the things that I wanted to mention is how our Cass County Sheriff is now involved in all this hoopla. He made a statement at the arrest yesterday.
Yeah.
And I want you to talk about that. Let's listen to what he had to say first.
All right.
Good afternoon. Sheriff Kirkmeier said, my name is Sheriff Laney from Cass County, and I am the operations chief for this ongoing incident. This morning, about 0700 hours, give or take, we were notified initially of three individuals that were on private property. Two had chained themselves or strapped themselves to equipment. Short time thereafter, we were notified that a large caravan of vehicles, well over 100, were now moving and headed towards that same area. That convoy stopped at Access Road 118. Off Highway 6, south of St. Anthony. And while some would like to say that this was a protest, this was not a protest, this was a riot. When you have that many people engaged in that kind of behavior, inciting others to break the law, cheering others on as they do break the law, refusing to leave when they're asked to leave, that's not a protest. There are very many ways to have a peaceful protest in America. This very group, and many of them, I'll bring back a few weeks to the Capitol when they protested two different times and one time on the Memorial Bridge. Extremely peaceful, exact same message. They worked with us, they planned it with us, and they executed it with us. We protect their right to do so. That's the oath we take. We also take an oath that we will not tolerate and we will arrest criminal behavior. That's the distinction between the two protests. You have the protests from the Capitol, and you have today's riot behavior. And today, 27 arrests were made, not because we wanted that to happen, because those people on scene chose for that to happen. And that's why today occurred. Any questions?
The actress, Shailene Woodley, was arrested on suspicion of what charges?
I believe all 27 were arrested on the same charges, engaging in a riot and criminal trespass. She was one of 27. She was no different than the others.
She was no different than the others. That's except right. For she had 46,000 people watching. And another person that had a, you know, they're going after people that are doing live streams, especially mm-hmm. people that have a lot of viewers, because anybody that's live streaming is capturing the action right there. And you know what? Sheriff Laney and Sheriff Kirchmeier, Kirkmeyer or whatever can say anything they want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your eyes and your own ears can watch these videos and yeah. see that they're lying, that they're just making things up out mm-hmm. of whole cloth because there isn't any evidence of what they're stating. And I would love to know where Sheriffs Laney and Kirkmeyer got their jurisprudence degree yeah. from. yeah. He was saying, we enforce the law, but you don't practice the law. So why are you interpreting the law? Exactly. Why are you saying what is and isn't an offense? Isn't that for the prosecutor to decide? Mm-hmm. And isn't that for a judge and a jury to determine? You are not the fact finder, and you are not the creator of the... You know, you're not the one that is going to make the decisions about how the laws are interpreted. You are merely an enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
As a police officer, if you believe that some kind of criminal activity took place, then you have to swear an oath to that. And then a prosecutor will determine whether you have something or you're wrong.
That's right.
Right.
And for him to decide that this is not peaceful protest and this is a riot, I mean, this is why they brought him in. They brought in the spin master to start charging people with inciting a riot, which is a higher charge, which is a more serious charge than trespass. And so they brought him in. And then later in the press conference, she actually talks about how they define a riot. It's like five or more people together. And this is there's plenty more than five people, so therefore it's a riot.
Yeah, but like we talked about earlier, his judgment is quite biased if he's seen this type of behavior and in many, many occasions through people tying themselves down and in a protest and didn't have the same reaction. So that's obviously, right. Clearly, there is some kind of bias at play.
And he talks about the law, you know, and he actually in 2008 was putting stickers, basically decorating the county's vehicles with a banner of the state seal with Sheriff Laney at the top. And the attorney general at that time, who was Al Jager, wrote him a letter and said, you know,
that's illegal.
You can't do that. That's illegal. The only way you can actually use a state seal on anything is having permission from the attorney general's office, and you don't have permission. You need to remove them. So he had to pay $9,000 out of his own pocket to scrape off all these decals, and that was actually, you know, one of his ploys to get reelected. And I believe he's up for reelection this year. So it's no surprise that he's out there now talking about these people aren't praying, they're violent, they are causing riots. So he's out there campaigning.
Yeah, well, how would he know whether or not they were praying? Maybe he doesn't know what prayer looks like.
I doubt it.
But, you know, obviously he has questionable judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And he, too, has violated the law because he did not understand the law. Clearly, he should not be making statements about interpretations of the law when he doesn't know how to interpret it himself.
That's right. He's a spin master. In fact, two summers ago in Fargo, he did a big press conference and how the Hell's Angels are coming to Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
We have a motorcycle gang coming to Fargo. We all have to get ready. And I think, what kind of grant is he applying for right now?
Yeah.
And I never saw a single Hell's Angel in Fargo. I mean, Fargo is a big city, but you would be able to see.
Maybe he saw Trump on the campaign trail and scared him. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but you know, I think that is exactly why we need to be talking about what's really happening. One of the comments that we heard from NDSU professor, history professor Tom Isern on social media, he posted, Sheriff Laney and all other sworn officers who have chosen to travel to Morton County in support of Dakota Access, please disclose the sources of your funding for your participation. And I would also follow that up with, how about the people that need protection from the Sheriff's Department in Cass County?
Yeah.
How about the people that need us? Need our law enforcement to be here for serious accidents and violent crimes and damage to property, theft, etc. What are we going to do when we have a problem here in this region and all of our law enforcement is out watching a bunch of people pray and dance?
Exactly, sitting
That's
in their cars.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is.
And threatening people, just intimidating people for absolutely no reason. Another of his posts, this one a little more funny than the first one I read to you, said, fellow citizens of Cass County, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your sheriff is? Answer, he's in Morton County talking smack. Funny thing is, I feel safer when he's not here. Publicity hounds are a danger to public safety.
Exactly.
I agree with that. And apparently so does the ACLU. One angry person from the Ocheticacoan camp named Linda Black Elk sent this public social media message stating, "Dear North Dakota law enforcement and government, how many children are being abused? How many women are being raped? How many pounds of meth are being smuggled? How many drunk drivers are on the road? How many young girls have been trafficked or been made into sex slaves? How many crimes are being committed while you use your tax dollars, you use taxpayers' hard-earned money to violate First Amendment rights of your own peaceful, unarmed North Dakota residents from all walks of life to defend an oil company who doesn't care about you, your children, us, our children, or anyone. Make no mistake, if you got into the way of Dakota Access, they would drench you with pepper spray, attack you with vicious dogs, and call in military forces to intimidate you. Instead, you defend them against the defenseless. You are complicit in their genocide."
Wow, that's very powerful. I totally agree.
Very, very strong. Well, here's some other comments from people that heard Sheriff Laney speaking about riots. Mm-hmm. Here's a comment from Nathan Sweet. He said, "I watched the live feed all morning from so many different angles, from Red Warrior Camp's angle, Indigenous Environmental Network, Sacred Stone Camp, even the Divergent Girls live feed." I think he's referring to Shailene Woodley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
"Not once did I see a protector or warrior get physical or riot in any way. Mm-hmm. Maybe the militarized police feel that when people speak truth, this is a form of riot. But then I've never cared much for fascists' feelings. Stand strong and proud out there. All you water protectors and warriors are an inspiration to us all." Yeah, I mean, I wonder if maybe for Sheriff Kyle Kirchmeier or Sheriff Laney, the idea that if they wear riot gear, then they're going to a riot. Like, yeah. If you put on a ball gown, there must be a ball.
That's right. You're all dressed up and nowhere to go, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. And also, I guess you have to make all of that use of military force and military gear and dogs.
That's right.
And
to justify the use of it. I mean, Laney himself, when Officer Mosier was shot last year, went and did a press conference and he said, "I don't care what people say at all, that Bearcat was important," which is one of the military vehicles that they've acquired for their, you know, building up a military equipment. Mm-hmm. And also he said, "They're hunting us. They're out there hunting us." So this guy is sensationalizing things. You know, he's just a spin master. And his accountability comes from the county commission. Mm-hmm. And county commission meetings are the least covered by media, governmental organizations in the country.
Not surprising that he's kind of off leash there.
Yeah.
Suzanne Kelly says, "Not seeing any violence, a crucial element in determining riot status. The riot response actions of law enforcement are simply not called for under North Dakota Century Code." Another person said, William N. Debbie Thill said, "It's a shame that once again we must fight for the rights of the land and the Native Indian. It sickens me to no end." S.M. Alexander says, "Evidently, and it's a good thing, the sheriff has never witnessed a riot. The protectors shouted the protectors shouted and that seemed to have put the officers, quote, in fear for, unquote, their own safety. Heavens forbid." I'll just read a couple more here. "People are peacefully praying. Water protectors, no riots going on here. You are horrible, Morton County." That was from Sherry Schaff. And Rebecca Schoenenberg said, "The only riot I see is the police and military force." Mm-hmm. So, yes. this one's funny. Robin Hewitt said, "How does one riot in the middle of the prairie asking for a friend?"
Yes. Yeah. Funny, but very true.
Yeah. Another one wrote, Robin Hewitt again says, that's okay. While Sheriff Doofus was spending his cut of the $6 million, other water protectors were working quietly, which refers to the shutdown of the other pipelines that five people.
That's right. In Iowa, Mississippi.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you can hear that on our That's News to Me segment. I won't tell you more about that right now. But I will tell you that Unicorn Riot reported on Monday, October 10th. Sheriff and state troopers in riot gear arrested 27 people after Indigenous water protectors entered a Dakota Access Pipeline construction site in Morton County, North Dakota, to hold prayer ceremonies. All 27 are charged with engaging in a riot and criminal trespass. Local authorities continue their practice of closing public roads at any sign of hashtag no dapple protest activities. A driver trying to reach the site of the direct action was told by police, quote, the road is closed, closed, close quote. Mm-hmm. When asked why, the officer answered, quote, there's a protest going on and we don't want to add any more people to it, close quote. That sounds like that's very deliberate. They're making the decision to not allow people to go to areas where they're either praying or doing some kind of action. This is not only, as the ACLU has pointed out, a denial of the right of the folks to assemble, of them to protest, of them to hold their religious ceremonies. You cannot prevent people, especially Indigenous people. Don't we have enough shame on our heads in North Dakota? Doesn't this part of the country have enough shame? Hundreds of years of shame for the genocide that was inflicted upon Indigenous people. And then on Indigenous People's Day? Come on, Morton County. I mean, either it was done deliberately that they chose Indigenous People's Day to go and act like genocidal colonizers. Or they are completely oblivious to the history of this country, to the history of this state, and to the practices of their clancestors before them.
Yeah.
Who murdered and used warfare of the biological type to give smallpox and eradicate hundreds of millions of Indigenous people from this continent, including my ancestors.
Yeah.
So to me, this isn't just some, you know, oh, it came out of nowhere. They are just responding to a state of emergency. This is part and parcel practice that has been going on for hundreds of years. I'm not clear on how it's different from the continued genocide we've seen before. The first ones were done in the name of Christ. This one is being done in the name of Dakota Access Pipeline.
Exactly.
Where does it end? I don't know about you, Duke, but I have a serious concern for the state of North Dakota, its reputation, its lasting reputation in this moment in history.
Yeah.
Because you know what? History will not look back kindly on the Bull Connors and the Kyle Kirchmeyers
and the Paul Laneys
of history who denied people their civil rights. If he can live with that, if these folks can live with being villainous in the face of history, then, you know, more power to him. I hope it gets him elected. But I believe that the kind of xenophobic, racist, reactionary, fear-mongering tactics that have been shown against people of color by this this law enforcement and by Dave Pipcorn of the County Commission speaking out against refugees. Fargo City Commission. In such a despicable way as he just did recently. All of that is very Trumpian. It's very, you know, dystopian. It is shameful that at this time in our country's history, these local leaders, I mean, I know there are Trumps out there. It makes me cringe. It makes me ashamed to know they live right here.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Sheriff Laney talking, I was like, no, no, Paul, don't do it. He just went and jumped into that big cesspool of poo and swam around in it.
That's right.
And I mean, I feel bad for him. It's still time. I want to send that message out to these folks. It's not too late.
That's right.
It's not too late to redeem yourselves, to redeem the face of law enforcement in the state, to redeem the Morton County Sheriff's Department, to redeem this country, this history of genocide, to redeem yourselves personally, to have taken this action that you've taken so far and spoken against these indigenous people is almost sacrilegious. It is non-defensible, morally non-defensible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, it is the kind of activity, criminal, unconstitutional activity that we saw taking place in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 30s, by police and law enforcement that were involved in the lynching of people, in the theft of land, in being the arm of corporations, of big money and big government. This is no different. You're just wearing a different uniform and you have different equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But the actions are the same. If you do not want to be viewed as a vile and disgraceful chapter in the history of our country by name, because I remember Bull Connor's name, and I think all of us are going to remember Paul Laney's name and Kyle Kirchmeier's name. Mm-hmm. We're going to remember the Goon Squad at Pine Ridge. We're going to remember those folks by name. If you go anywhere in history, you remember all the murderers, Columbus, Cortez, you can name them all off. If you don't want to be added to that list, folks, you have an opportunity to turn this around, to change how you are viewed. You can still be real American heroes that stand up for the Constitution that you took an oath and swore to defend. You can still do that. All you have to do is start enforcing the law, not interpreting it.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have a jurisprudence doctorate. You did not study the law. There are those of us who have studied the law, including constitutional law. You do not know what you are talking about when you accuse peaceful, prayerful water defenders and land defenders of rioting when there was nothing of the sort going on, and the cameras of the world and the eyes of the world are on Morton County and on the state of North Dakota. That is something that not just the law enforcement in North Dakota, but the law enforcement in Iowa and all of these other states where this dirty oil pipeline is proposed to cross. So there is an opportunity for these folks to redeem themselves. I hope that they take it, because I would not want to be one of these Kirchmeier or Laney's grandchildren or ancestors in the future, and then having to explain Laney, like Paul Laney, the guy that was involved in helping Dakota Access Pipeline to poison the water for 10 million people. Was it that guy, the guy that took away the rights of peaceful protesters, that took away the constitutional rights of indigenous people of this land? Was it that guy? Are you related to that guy? And for the love of everything that is law and order, I hope that they hear this message from the indigenous people that are at Standing Rock, the people of this country, the people of the world that are watching Morton County in North Dakota right now, and from me, a Mexican crossing lines. I hope that folks listen to our past programs. If you can support Standing Rock, go to their official website and give directly to the Standing Rock tribe. Or you can also look up the Sacred Stone Camp and help donate to their legal fund, because with the situation of arrests, they definitely need it. Thank you very much for listening to today's Mexican Crossing Lines. Miniwichoni, water is life.